Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot.
It's about time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor, Charlie Epps. Here's your host, John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. John and Charlie in our Houston studios. Unfortunately, no Billy. Maybe we'll hear from him a little bit later in the show. He's going to try to get there. He had to pick up his wife at the airport, so he is detained. But it's me and you, pal, for the next hour right here on SB Nation Radio. How are you?
You know, I've been waiting for this hour since last Sunday.
Yeah.
What a finish of the Open Championship.
Now, okay, so, and I heard this question, where it is historically. What do you think?
Right now, it's at the top of the list. I mean, it's just one of the great finishes. You know, Nicklaus has been around for a long time.
Well, I think 86. That to me, I mean, because historically, I mean, they made movies about that, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is probably top five.
Top five. But, you know, just I don't think we can forget last year, the way that Stenson played.
Yeah, no, that was
I mean, that was unbelievable, especially with the drama and how Phil played and both of them were going back and forth and all of that. Charles Schwartzel. I mean, in South Africa, what do they think?
I think what this kind of trumps all of those is this kid is something special.
Yeah.
I mean, this is his third major before the age of 24. And he seems to be able to win when he's not supposed to. And that's really the sign of a great champion.
Right.
I mean,
everybody has given him so much. And well, you've got to look at what happened before. You know, he was three over after nine. He was four. He just made that bogey. It took an hour to play that hole and all of that stuff. And then he turned it around. Well, but he brought that on himself. He was playing so poorly. That was on him. So everybody's giving him so much credit for bouncing back. Now, did it take a lot to bounce back from where he was? Absolutely, and I give him credit for that. And that finish, five under in four holes, unbelievable. But he brought that on himself some.
Only true champions, really great champions, can win when it looks like they're not going to win, when it's not their day.
Yeah.
Exceptional victory.
That shot on 14, unbelievable. We're going to take a quick break, and we got plenty more right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the SB Nation Radio Network, and by InternationalProAm.com. InternationalProAm.com. You get three buddies together, and your local pro, and your pro at your club. Or Charlie will get a pro for you, and you go down to Puerto Vallarta, and you play the Nicklaus and the Weisskopf at
Casa Magna Marriott. Look at the pictures.
That's beautiful.
I
played those courses. They're as good of courses as you're going to play.
Houston Links has a great ad in the back page. Everybody should see, but log on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com or InternationalProAm.com and just see the golf courses you're going to play, and then the wonderful Casa Magna Marriott. It's right there on the bay, and the hospitality is great. Attention to detail is perfect. Billy Sitton runs a wonderful tournament. This is the 28th year, and over 80% of the teams come back every year. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have a great year-end celebration and playing golf and just enjoying yourself, log on, join me down in Puerto Vallarta. I'll buy you the first adult beverage.
Margarita.
Margarita.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Juanita.
InternationalProAm.com. And if you don't have enough players and you're just by yourself, you'll hook them up.
Yeah, we'll
hook them up. First week of December. Yes. You deserve it.
Yes, sir.
All right, and Jordan deserves it. And there's so many questions.
Yes.
But let's first ask Jordan, okay, exactly what happened out there in that final round?
Past majors, when I've been in contention, I've started so strong. And then it's been about holding on to that kind of start. And this was just a, you know, completely flip switch where I start just horribly. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're playing a new tournament and you've let, you know, a lot of the field back in and what could have been, you know, just a match. And that's what it turned into. We both played, you know, 13 or 14, 15 well. To kind of separate ourselves and make this a match play match with three holes to go. And, boy, I really don't know how we got the job done. I credit Michael a lot. Showed a lot of resilience myself to be able to get some of those putts to go in when I just didn't feel like it was working today. But once they started to go, the roof was off and the can was huge. I
can't remember an event, let alone a major. Although Justin Leonard, when he won his Open at Troon, he putted incredibly coming down the stretch. But those putts that Jordan made after putting poorly for the first 12 holes, because he made a great saving putt on 13 for bogey. I mean, that doesn't go in. It's over with, in my estimation. Because
once again, though, standing on 14 after all of that on 13 – you know, that shot to me was unbelievable. I don't know if it was over because he just – I don't know. Well, maybe it would have been so deflating to have a double there. But it took unbelievably – that's another thing that we have to delve into. But again, you know, I think we forget Stenson was dropping bombs on Phil the year before, right? Wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes.
I mean, unbelievable bombs the year before.
But all day long. He just didn't of a sudden turn
right,
it
right,
on.
Right, right, right.
That's the magical of this event. Is all of a sudden he went from, man, he's going to
– cratering.
Embarrassing himself again.
Again.
I mean, in a second blown major, this last one at Augusta, blows it again. His career could really go south.
Really? It really could have. Really could have. But to have – that's why I thought of all of the shots, obviously the big eagle putt, so such a long putt. You go get that, he tells Michael. The shot on 14 was the biggest shot of the tournament, I thought.
Perfect.
You know, after he did all of that on 13, to stand on that tee box after all of that and to hit that shot to within 10 feet and to make that putt, you know, then you could you just could sense that something, but not what he did. And birdie, eagle, birdie. Holy cow. That's unbelievable.
How do you – what was – Kuchar thinking about it.
Oh, man. He was like, or birdie, eagle, birdie.
Yeah.
Kuchar was like, wow, dude, really? And when he dropped that eagle putt, I'm sure Kuchar was like, what the bleep?
That famous quote of Jack Buck's, I can't believe what
I just saw. Right.
I mean, I'm sitting out there, and I had three televisions going that day.
You did?
I started in my man cave, and it started going bad, so then I'd walk into my bedroom and do a couple things, watch it in there, and then I had my TV on in the garage, because I got to get out there because I can. You
want to swing some clubs?
Swing things and you know, clean up and busy work. And I said to my wife Judy, I said, "Do you believe what he just did?
That's unbelievable."
And she said something.
Yeah. Oh, I think we were all saying something.
Something.
I had it. I went to church, so I came back and I was behind. So I didn't want to see any. I didn't want to be on Twitter. People were, you know, tweeting and all this stuff. And I said, I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not answering my phone. No texts or anything. And I'm watching it. So I was able to fast forward through that 13th hole. Was it? I know since they're the last group, but the amount of time that he took is. Did you have any problem with what happened on 13?
No, it's within the rules. I mean, you're allowed 5 minutes to find the ball.
Right.
He found the ball. Now there is no time limit on deciding what to do. Maybe they should say, okay, within 5 minutes you got to.
Right.
But this was so complicated, and once again, the RNA are responsible for that because they decided that the driving range was in play.
Right.
It's a club rule that, you know, it's not – there's no out of bounds in the golf course.
Okay.
But they allowed those trucks to park there on the golf course.
Which is in play. Well, they put tents up all over too, though, and they've got all kinds of things that are in play, right?
So they have to allow the player enough time to make his decision.
Right.
And that's what was so amazingly cool about Jordan is that's so hard to do because your onboard computer saying, taking to hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And he kept
calling. Didn't. Well, he didn't hurry up, and I thought maybe it was a little unfair to Cooch. And he said so too. If Cooch wasn't such a great guy, you know, he got up and they dapped fists when they got up to the green because Cooch was about as cool as he could possibly be. But for your competitor to be standing there for 20 some minutes just waiting for you to hit a shot, maybe it was a little unnerving for and maybe a little unfair to Cooch.
He went ahead and played.
He did, but he didn't. But it then, took him 22 minutes from the time he saw his ball to actually make a decision on when he was going to hit it.
Yeah.
That's a little bit much. Secondly, I thought John Feinstein made a really good point. He said once Jordan dropped the ball, he knew he was going to play off the driving range. Now you got to put a clock on him because he went up the hill. He's looking around. He comes back down the hill. And if he drops the ball and the ball is in play, now Jordan, you got to hit the ball in a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was probably once they made the ruling and they dropped the ball, I think it would have been a little bit more fair to Cooch because I thought it was a bit unfair. Now Cooch is about as good a guy as you're going to find, right?
But Cooch played good from there on in, and still lost.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, those circumstances, there's always controversy. You know, who's right, who's wrong. The bottom line, Jordan did not do anything wrong.
No.
He was within the rules.
So now they were well behind, though. Do you put a clock on them? Now Bones said the year before they were told, "Hey, you guys got to pick. You got to tell your players to pick it up." And Bones said, "I ain't telling them nothing. No. If you want to put a clock on them, go ahead. But I ain't telling them nothing because they're playing great."
Yeah.
So you know, if you're the RNA, do you put a clock on them?
No.
No. Just let them play.
It's the drama. It's what you want. It's perfect golf for television.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't ever want to have the victory determined by a referee. I don't think that's good in any sport. You know, so it worked out well.
I mean, the last 2 years, the best major has been the Open.
Yes.
Is there any reason? Is it because of the uniqueness of the course? Is it obvious? Okay, for you, if you were to win majors, rank them, which one would you want to win first?
Masters?
Me too.
The U.S. Open.
You'd rather win the U.S. than the
it's
Open?
It's my Open.
It's your Open.
Yeah, I'm an American.
Yeah.
The British Open and the PGA, which I'm a member of, but but I'd take any one.
Yeah, right. No, obviously.
I mean, I played in the U.S. Open and I played in the PGA. I went over 1 year to try to qualify for the British, and they all have a certain personality that are.
I would think would play. I don't know. Obviously, if you're a Euro, the Open Championship, but the Masters is so special. I think I might want to win the Open second, the Open Championship second, because it's the world event, like they said, and they're trying to promote it that way.
They're all the world event now with the World Golf Championships. You count how many foreigners are playing in the U.S. Open. They're probably the same amount of foreigners in the British Open than the
right. It's US. The world's top players.
It's a world game,
right.
And that's the way the PGA Tour designed it.
Yeah. All right, so we got Charlie Epps and John Granato here in studio. We still got plenty to talk. We haven't even talked about what's going on this week. We've got a couple of segments in. We told you about internationalproam.com. Get there and come play. If you're listening to the show, you're a golf fan, so that is a special, special event, something that you'll be – I mean, how many people have returned after they
80%
played?
80%
of the teams come back.
Yeah.
So that's great. That is just awesome. So you'll want to do that every single year. Let's take a break. You're listening to Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on the SB Nation Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. John and Charlie and Tom here with you this week, and you. If you 1-800-777-2907 is the number. If you'd like to get in here and make a comment about Jordan or anything else, you're more than welcome to do that. The seniors are at the Open Championship this week. The Senior Open Championship: Steve Flesch, Billy Mayfair, Mauricio Molina, Bernard Langer, and Tom Lehman all led after one round at one over. Okay, and there, what didn't make the cut, Charlie?
15 over.
15? Didn't make the cut? Well, dang it. Darn it. I missed it by one. So it must be blowing sideways.
Could be the hard. Well, Tom Watson, who is the original bad player that can handle everything, he says the worst conditions he's ever played in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like my friend Dick Harmon said, it's blowing so much over there, the birds are walking.
Yeah. and the guys are – but, hey, Tom Lehman. One over and leading. If you could shoot one over in that, and you can play. And Tom Lehman's always been like that, right?
Yeah, he's got that mentality, and he's got that little low draw.
Yep.
And it goes the same way each time. And he's from Minnesota, so it's
same thing.
The other quote by Boo Weekly, he said, "I don't know why they don't have these tournaments in summer."
and on Saturday. Or Friday, I guess. It felt like it at the Open Championship. And then just beautiful weather for Jordan both Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
And, you know, and I had asked Bruce the question, would the rest of the field prefer if it was blowing sideways so that they had a chance to catch up? Maybe Jordan would blow up. And he said no, because Jordan played in Texas and where the wind blew. Yeah. And he's a wind player. And he was probably right, although the field couldn't catch up to Jordan in the sunshine or in the wind.
And he played poorly, started poorly. I mean, he started with one of those shots where he hit it perfect, and he goes up there, and it's in a horrible lie. And that kind of – it's kind of like a fighter being hit.
What the heck?
Is this going to be the day?
But I thought Michael was awesome in that Jordan's up to him. You could see the shoulders slump a little bit, and Michael said, "Get over it."
Yeah, no, he's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, he did a wonderful job. He said, and Jordan keeps saying "we."
Yeah,
he always says "we" when he talks about it. In that soundbite that we heard a little bit earlier, he did say, you know, and I was able to, but we. He always says "we." He looks at it as a team. Do you look at it as a team?
Sure. I was part of a team. I was a part of Uncle Cabrera's team. And the guys, the support guys, we want to help the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was always trying to make his life easier off the golf course. Once he gets on the golf course, but he knows, you know, Uncle knew where I was every minute of every round. And he'd get mad at me because I'm looking at my phone and not at him. So, you know,
I was a little narcissistic.
Everything's a team sport. I mean, that's what, you know, I love about baseball. I mean, baseball, you have your teammates, you have, you know, well, golf's a team game, especially in today's era there's plenty of money and you can help people helping you. So I think it's great.
Yeah. Did he say nosotros or yo?
Joe.
Well, then that's not a team game. He was just saying, but Joe.
Yeah, but you support him.
Right, I got you. No, I got you. Well, come, you can include us in this, Uncle.
Nosotros.
So there was that. Now, the PGA, they head to Canada, the RBC.
Yes.
And they're throwing low scores out there. Martin Flores, Brandon Hagee. Gary Woodland and Matt Every all at 11 under. Scott Stallings is on the course right now, 500 today. But I think there's going to be a lot of low scores out there today, more than likely. But he started back, and now he's uh, in, into the hunt. We'll see how long that lasts, though, with all the players still to tee off today. But did you ever play up there in Canada?
No, I was up there with Uncle a few times. Yeah. It's a good golf course.
Everybody seems to like it. They think this is one of the better courses to play.
The par fives, it's over the years, it's gotten a little shorter.
Yeah.
So the par fives play are a little weak. That was the scene of Tiger Woods' great six iron out of an incredible lie and over water that all of a sudden he was superhuman. But Matt Kuchar, my hat's off to him, that he went from this terrible defeat, like he said, it really hurts, and he made the cut. Yesterday, you know, birdied four out of the last six holes to make the cut, strong mentally. So, our good friend Johnny Vegas, defending champion mm-hmm. from the Woodlands, he's right there. He's nine under. He's in the mix. So it's a good tournament. But piece of history, John, and we talk about great players, and I always go back to Lee Trevino and how good a ball striker he was and what he was able to do in his short career. I mean, because he started late. He didn't, you know, but he won the U.S. Open, the British Open, or the Open Championship, and the Canadian Open back-to-back-to-back in 1971.
Wow. How about that? And that's when it wasn't real easy to travel.
That's right.
Yeah. No, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, that really is unbelievable. And a lot of people took, we were in the fantasy thing, and a lot of people took Cooch, and I said, I'm not taking him this week, not after all that.
Yeah.
And here he is, like you said, he still made a cut. I don't know if he'll compete and be in the top 15, but he, to be able to do that and that disappointment, and then travel all that and do all of that and to be competing this week, it shows what kind of guy he is.
I thought it was really neat that Cooch's wife was in Denver Saturday night.
And she flew over with the kids?
Yeah, and was there for the – I think it was great that they were there. That probably helped him after that defeat.
Yeah.
That's a family affair, so that was good.
He just looks like a family guy.
Now, do you think he'll win a major?
Who, Cooch?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's on course like Sergio, don't you? Late, he's going to win. But it'll be a really special day when he wins because he's such a – everybody loves that guy, right?
Yeah, everybody respects him. He won the U.S. Amateur, went, south with his game and has come back and changed his swing completely and now it plays well.
So consistent.
Henrik won his first major when he was 41.
Mm-hmm.
So there's time for Kuchar.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. I think he will, don't you? You're not sure? Now, what is the pressure? Your pressure builds up more and more when you're now all of a sudden I'm hitting 40. I'm 40, and I still don't have it. Now, every time I'm in contention, every shot gets more and more important.
See, now, I think, do we start talking about Jordan getting closer to Tiger's record of 14 majors?
Well, and this is an article that is on ESPN today, as a matter of fact. Please, sports fans, don't place usual golf expectations on Jordan Spieth, the Jack Nicklaus Tiger Woods comparisons.
Why not?
Well, only two guys under the age of 24 got the three legs, right? And it was Jack and Jordan. But is that undue expectation on a young man? Just for our own gratification.
Well, sure it is. That's the magic of sport. We sitting here this morning, and we can come up with our own opinion.
Right.
And
do you think he gets in that rarefied air of Jack and Tiger?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. He's already there.
Well, if he doesn't win another major throughout his career, he's not.
He's won 11 tournaments, and he's only 23 years old.
Right.
I mean, there's not many guys going to do that, John. And that pedigree in golf is a game of a lifetime. He's, barring injury, and it looks to me as Jordan has taken good care of himself. He hasn't gone overboard like Rory and made himself a Mr. Universe. So he's got an extended career that he's going to have another 50 majors.
Yeah. No, he'll be playing in another – you're right. Whether or not, I don't know. I don't know. I hate to put that. I hate to put that on him. But you're right. 11 tournaments already. Guys have had great, great, great careers with 6, 7, 8 wins.
Yeah.
He's got 11 already.
Yeah.
Holy cow! Yeah, he's on pace. There's no question about it. That's rarefied air, though. We'll see if he can possibly get there. We got another segment to go right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host, John Granato.
Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, right here on the SB Nation Radio Network. All right, so as we mentioned, very difficult, Charlie, to go. And it looks like a Charlie Hoffman, Charlie. He played well again. He's having what a rejuvenated year Charlie Hoffman is having.
You know, he's a kid that just really doesn't hit many bad shots, and he's got a wonderful caddy. And for some reason, he can't close the deal. But he's got a lot of top tens,
mm-hmm.
And he's always right there.
You know, I was watching last week. You had the Open, and then we were watching the Barbasol, but
yeah.
We just couldn't get enough golf. And a lot of the guys that are on the leaderboard this week were at the Barbasol,
because it's
just so draining to go over there and play, and all the travel and everything else. And you see a Scott Stallings playing well, a Chad Campbell. They were competing last week, mm-hmm. at the top of that leaderboard, and they're playing well again this week. And there's a guy up there, Vijay Singh. He's 54 years old, Charlie. And he's 10 under. How's that happening?
You know, Vijay is just one of those rare athletes that's kept himself in good shape. And he has a long golf swing. And, you know, he's kind of like a John Daly, that he's able to maintain his distance. And he's amazing. He's a poor putter, but he can shoot some numbers.
Yeah.
Can he win? I don't know. Will he set the record for being the oldest guy to win on the PGA Tour?
Well, that's
Sam Snead when he was 60.
Yeah. But 54 nowadays is,
yeah.
No, it's a little bit different story, isn't it? And what kind of story would that be if Vijay wins?
It would be incredible, especially when he's suing the PGA Tour.
You know,
he's still going through that. You know?
Yeah. And
the commissioner, I'm not sure, is too delighted. But
no, I'm sure he's not. Dustin's bouncing back a little bit. You and I were talking before the show. The big four.
Yep.
Dustin, Jordan, Day, and Rory. But Jason Day, something's going on there. I don't know what it is, but
injury.
he was so spectacular just a couple of years ago, and now it's like he's been non-existent.
Those two horrible things you never want to hear, bad back for a golfer.
Yeah, and he's got the dizzy thing going on,
yeah.
Where, you know, that he had to take a break and whatnot. So if you had to rank them in order of, you think, you know, Dustin's a little bit older, what, 32, right? So he's a little bit older than those guys. They've got a lot more time to go. But if you bought stock, you'd buy it in Jordan first, right?
Yes.
You'd buy stock in Jordan first. Who would you buy after that?
I got to go with Dustin Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know, Rory, although he finished fifth in the Open,
yeah.
He had a good weekend. He fought back. You got to give him a lot of credit
after a
for
tough
that.
Start.
You know, and he's, you know, he missed the cut at his tournament, so he's fighting back. I would love to see him win the Grand Slam. You know, and I ask the question to you. You know, who's going to win the Grand Slam first? Is it easier to win a PGA or is it easier to win a Masters?
Jordan? Well, it appears that the great players all take care of the PGA. That doesn't seem to be, although it's different courses, and that, which may be an advantage. You may not play Augusta well. You may not be able to hit it right to left, left to right on those holes that you have to hit it on. So that may be a little bit more difficult. If you're playing a different course every year in the PGA, you say, well, this course really suits me, and it doesn't suit other guys, so I can shoot a low number here. So maybe that is a little bit easier. But to have the familiarity that you have at Augusta for these guys, you know, and the field isn't nearly as good. I mean, you got the top 50 guys and then a bunch of guys that are, you know, have won before there or whatever. Yeah. The PGA has as good a field as any.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I have the 99 of the top 100. And Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson, never won the PGA.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Sam
Snead never won the U.S. Open.
Phil has never won the U.S. Open.
You know, so there's certain things, right. You know, it's a rarefied air. There's only five guys to complete the Grand Slam.
Right.
So who will do it first, Rory or Jordan?
Well, right now I think you have to bet on Jordan, the way that he's playing and the confidence that he has. And he, you know, his game fits a lot of different courses. Whether or not, you know, Rory's game should fit Augusta, though, and it has, and except for one round, right? But
his putter is gone.
Yeah.
It's not free-flowing like it was when he won his first four majors.
Right.
And, I mean,
and his body has changed. His body has changed, and it's bigger. He's bigger, and he's stronger. And he proved I can overpower that. You know what? You know, all the guys that are criticizing my body, well, look, I'm still shooting low scores. But is he winning? Because this guy should be – I mean, he should be doing what Jordan's doing, no?
Yeah. And time will only tell.
Right. But changing your body up, you're very opposed to.
You got to be careful. You want to stay in good shape, but you know this isn't a Mr. Universe contest.
Right.
You know you've got to train. You know just like you know you have the thoroughbreds, and you know you have good workouts. Good trainers know what to do with the you know the trainers. You know of today, those guys have to study more. You know kinesiology or whatever, and especially. Changing your strength to damage your putting.
Right. Yeah. Well, and there's something to I was pretty lucky last week. Charlie and I went out a couple of times, and I got some course lessons, which is just unbelievable. You like to teach on the golf course.
Yeah.
Instead of just beating balls, you like to go out there and teach on the golf course. And I learned a lot of good stuff of reading greens and, you know, how to approach different holes and whatnot. And it just seems, you know, I mean, it looks like Rory just wants to overpower everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and if the putter is working, then the putter is working. But it just seems like Jordan just approaches it differently than everybody
else. But although Jordan misses some putts that he shouldn't, that's what I can't figure out. I mean, he misses short putts. I mean, Nicklaus did the same thing. I mean, he always peaked a little, and Trevino talked about it a lot. He, you know, Nicklaus would miss the occasional 4-footer.
Yeah, but how many people make 15-footers as often as Jordan does, right?
How about that?
It's unbelievable. But he did. But he missed a short one on Sunday.
Missed a couple of them.
A couple of them, and you went, oh, my goodness, here he is again. He's about to blow up. And he was able to maintain it, able to and again, Michael gets big credit for that. But it just seems like, as opposed to Dustin, who just overpowers a course. Now, he does have nice touch around the green.
Dustin, for a big guy.
He really does.
You know, a great putter, I think. You know.
And Jason Day overpowers a course, and Rory overpowers a course. But Justin just seems to manage to go along. Oh, wow, he's par, he's birdie, he's par, he's par, he's par. And then all of a sudden he's, well, hey, he's got a 4-stroke lead. How'd that happen?
He's got that 330-yard drive.
Yeah, right. Well,
he's hitting more pitching. Which that's Vijay Singh's. You know, Vijay won, I don't know, five majors. He won the Masters. Couple times in the PGA, a couple times. That's the only two. But he was always hitting it and hitting more wedges than most people.
Well, but those guys, Dustin and Rory and Jason Day, are the longest on the tour, and they're hitting a bunch of pitching wedges. While Jordan is not as long.
Yeah.
Although I think it's overrated that Jordan is short. He's not as
he's
short.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not. He and Cooch were out there the same.
But he's a deadly iron player.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's to me is incredible.
Right, but we always talk about too when Tiger was at the top of his game. Yeah. Was it not his putting? It was about his putting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then he'd chip in when he needed to.
Right.
Magical. But we're forgetting about Bruce Koepka already.
Brooks, yeah, I know.
I mean, he won the U.S. Open, but he's not even in the conversation.
Well, he's not in the conversation, but he was in the conversation on Sunday last weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a really, really good player, and you know what? You got to take him. You got to watch for him. But, you know, he's only got that one. He's got to validate. And I thought he did last weekend, didn't he? He played really well.
Yeah, he did.
He played really well.
Now, you're a fantasy player.
Right.
Who are your top five players?
I'll tell you right now, you got to take Koepka. You got to take Jordan. You got to take Dustin, even though Dustin has had his. Dustin, ever since the fall at Augusta, has not been the same guy. He's just not the same guy.
Who's had the most top tens in the last 5 years?
Last top tens.
The most.
The most top tens in the last 5 years.
Or even 6 years. Kuchar.
Kuch? He's a guy that's always hanging around.
He just hits it straight.
Yep.
He doesn't hit many bad shots. And yesterday's a proof in the. You know, he finished strong. He was going to miss the cut and then went birdie. You know, he did it. So, fantasy golf. You really enjoy that, don't you?
I do. I love it. We love it. We play every weekend. Ours is a little different. It's at a little local pub, and it's just a group of guys and gals that get together. And actually, there's a woman leading the whole damn thing.
You don't invite me. I'd come over and do it.
Oh, well, come on.
You
won't be scared next year, will you? Don't be scared next year.
I can't get in now?
It's too late. It was almost over. We finished at the PGA.
That's right.
Yeah. The season's almost over, Charlie. Can you believe that?
Is that good?
Here's the thing. It's because the PGA doesn't take a break. Now, all of a sudden, we start the next season right after the FedEx Cup. I think every sport takes a little bit of break except golf and bowling, maybe. I don't know. I don't have any idea what's going on in the bowling tour. But I don't think it's a good thing. I think you got to get away from it.
The famous movie, Follow the Sun. You know, everybody follows the sun. And in golf, people in Australia love to have professional golf, so they're going to run their tournaments. People in South Africa, you know. So it's a worldwide – and guys – you got a chance to win $1 million. You're going to go play?
Right. Make some money.
You get, you know, $500,000 to go over and play in it. I mean, it's just a matter of making a living.
Right. But that the off season, the winter season, counts the same towards FedEx as it does for, you know, the regular season, I think is a little unfair to the – although we always see at the FedEx that the biggest names are going
to
be there.
Why does things have to be fair?
Because we want it to be fair.
No.
Yes, it's America.
No.
That's what we like,
no,
fair.
That's why it's
You should go to South Africa if you don't want fair.
That's why there's A, B, C's, and D's. Everybody should just get a, you know.
No. Everybody
smart
should
get
a grade.
A's. I always got C's.
But I should if I
that's
get a grade, I should take the same test that you take. That's all
fair.
I'm saying.
That's not fair.
Well, I'm just saying, take the same test. Don't give me a calculus test and you an addition test.
You go up against Einstein, he's going to win.
Okay. You're right, but I want to take the same test.
Although he wasn't any good in
no, he couldn't play. I never see.
You know what he said about golf?
What did he say?
It's far too complicated for me.
Is it? And he's right.
He used to walk around the Princeton golf course.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And a friend of mine was at school at Princeton. He ran into him one day. He said, "Mr. Einstein, do you play golf?" He said, no, it's far too complicated for me. I just like the golf courses.
That's nice. Good for him. So who you? So we got. Look at this leaderboard that we got this week, John.
Yes.
Flores, Hagee, Woodland, Every, Werner, Hoffman, Ruffles, Chapel, Singh. This is a bunch of guys that probably the average golf fan. You better be a golf fan if you're going to watch this weekend, because you're probably not going to recognize a lot of names. But that's what happens after a major.
That's exactly right. I'm going to watch the Astros.
How about them last night? A 3-run homer in the eighth. Sam Saunders, Arnie's grandson.
That'd be a great story.
Wouldn't that be a great story?
Yeah.
Johnny Vegas, your guy.
I'd like to see him repeat.
Wouldn't that be neat?
Yeah, because if he has a good tournament this week, he's got a chance to make the President's Cup.
That would be neat.
And
that would
be a great goal for him after his great career at Texas. And he came from nowhere. He came into this United States, didn't know a word of English. He didn't know anybody, and Rick Forrester helped him, and he learned English, went to Texas, got a degree.
Nice.
Just in a wonderful family.
In your second language, that ain't easy.
No, it's
That's
not.
Tough.
No.
That's really, really tough.
But
all right, let's take one break, and we'll pick a winner, and we'll take a look at the President Cup standings on the other side right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's your host,
Don Granato.
I mentioned the President's Cup, and guys are playing for it now. Guys are thinking about it. And not that they haven't been thinking about it, but it's really coming down now to the wire. And we'll see how this is going to work out for Steve Stricker and who he's going to pick. He's got two picks. So Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger, Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler, Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar. Those guys probably all in. Patrick Reed and Brian Harman are 9 and 10. Patrick Reed has not played well this year.
We're going to have him on the show next week.
Patrick Reed is?
Yeah.
Awesome. So we'll talk to him about that. He's a guy that, even if he hasn't been playing well, though, the way that he played, you probably take that guy anyway.
You might do that.
Because he's such a great team player.
Who are the next four?
So, Kevin Chappell, Jason Duffner, Brant Snedeker is hurt now, Brendan Steele, Phil Mickelson, Charlie Hoffman.
How do you not pick Phil?
That's a question. That's a really good question.
But he's been on a lot of losing teams. Not on President's Cup, but a Ryder Cup.
Well, and it's Steve Stricker. They're great friends. I don't think there's any chance Phil's not on the team.
Yeah.
Just because of the respect that they have for him.
Yeah.
The rest of the team would have for him. And his leadership. They're playing fewer matches than they had before. So Phil might say, you know what, sit me the first day. Whatever. I'm not worried about it. But just him being there, I think his presence, don't you think?
Yeah.
Now on the other side, Matsuyama, Day, Scott, Schwartzel, Oosthuizen, Leishman, Grace, Kim, Griot, Tanihata. And then it's Adam Hadwin, Byung-Hun An, Tong Lee, Yuta Ikeda, Jung-Hun Wang, Anirban Lahiri, Johnny Vegas is at 17. Danny Lee has played really well. He's at 18. Nick Price is going to have himself a difficult decision there.
I think he'll go with an Asian.
You do?
I think they want that TV market.
That's a good point. To get that and get that, you know, people to that those advertising
but
dollars.
I want Johnny Vegas.
Yeah, you want Johnny Vegas, of course you do. We're done. We appreciate you as always. Great show. We'll be back next week right here.
Good show
on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Brought
we
to you by
missed
Sperry.
You, Billy. Don't
do
that
at us again. Never again.
Drop
Billy.
Us in the grief.
Yeah. So long, everybody.